Good morning.
Good morning.
I've heard sermons and discussions on this morning's gospel more times than I can remember, and they all seem to carry one of two themes. Either the text is interpreted as the juxtaposition of two major paradigms in Christianity, one of doing and the other of being, so that Martha is the doer, bustling about preparing the meal, while Sister Mary is content to be at the feet of Jesus. Martha, then, representing social and justice activism in the church, and Mary, the contemplative dimension of the church, contrasted against each other. Alternatively, the text has been interpreted as dual aspects of one individual human nature. Sometimes we're active and sometimes we're inactive, sometimes doing and sometimes being, and both are me or us or you. To add to these two, there might be an interpretation that centers around Martha's attempt to triangulate Jesus into her conflicted feelings about Mary, which are really about Martha's inability to communicate directly with her sister for help. With any particular interpretation we choose, however, it seems to me that there is another unconsidered truth, and that is, whatever is on our plate will obscure our ability to be attentive to the real and to the true. Our Lord says to Martha, "You are worried and distracted by many things." The anxieties and distractions of life often hide the face of God, who is ultimate reality, from us. The Holy One, you see, is always present, always active within and among us. The divine presence is always speaking in our midst, but usually we cannot hear because we're simply too distracted. This is why it's important for us to always know what's on our plate. In other words, we need to know what we are internally holding at any given moment, taking our internal temperature, so to speak, because that's what colors and gives meaning to the perceptions of the world around us. This is the heart of our Lord's response to Martha's whine this morning. "Martha, Martha," our Lord might have said, "what are you holding in your heart? How many things are on your plate?" Now, I can call it a whine because I identify wholeheartedly with Martha for many years. Responsibility was my middle name. I'm the seventh of the oldest of seven children, and I was responsible for and to my younger siblings. Had to make sure everything was just so. And this meant action and doing what needed to be done for the good of the whole. So like Martha, if an honored guest was coming, it was my responsibility to make sure that I got done whatever needed to be done in order to make that guest feel welcome. And I ask you, what's wrong with that anyway? Actually, nothing, if you don't lose sight of the guest. So let's take it one step further. What happens to you when you're flustered, when you've got way too much on your plate? Sometimes you don't think clearly. Sometimes you're forgetful. You wonder, where are my glasses? And then you remember they're on the top of your head. When you're so flustered, you're easily fatigued. You fall asleep as soon as you sit down. Or you're awake more than half the night because your mind won't stop racing. The stresses and anxieties of life begin to overwhelm you, but you gotta keep it together at all costs. You got to keep it together, whether it's the illness or the infirmity or the family or the kids or the grands. Someone is depending on you to keep it together. Indeed, stress-related illnesses are on the rise in our society. But what if the things on our plates obscure the fact that we even have a plate? What if Martha scurrying around the kitchen prevented her from realizing who or why she was doing all that work in the first place? What if the ministries and ways of serving that we undertake prevent us from realizing the who or why of ministry? So what's really on your plate? Theologian John Shea observes that while in English we hear that Mary has chosen the better part, in Greek the word is translated as good. So Mary has chosen the good part, meaning she has chosen the part connected to God who is good, who is the ground and the energy of all effective action. In other words, Mary's focus is on the part connected to the good God. And then the question becomes, well, does that mean that Martha is bustling in the kitchen, disconnected from God? That's what her demand of Jesus about her sister seems to show. Hear me. It's not the work that Mary does that is the problem. It's not the work that Martha does that is the problem. It's her perception. It's her truth based solely upon what she's holding in her heart, or what I call what's on her plate. That's the problem. Notice that Jesus does not judge Martha. And neither does he judge Mary. He simply points out Martha's anxieties to her. He names what is going on within her. And this allows her to say yes to the name. And by doing so, she can freely choose to either release it or let it go, and let it go, or hold on to it. The things that worry and distress us and distract us today quite often hide the face of God, the face of ultimate reality. I know many of us would like to think that reality is all that we can sense with our five senses and maybe a little bit of our sixth sense, but that's not all that there is. So we have to learn to name our distractions and anxieties. We have to know ourselves before we can know others or judge others. When we learn to name what's on our plates, we are free to choose to hold on to them or to let go. One last thought. In the letter to the Colossians that Peter read this morning, Paul makes a point of reiterating the exaltation of Jesus of Nazareth as Christ, Yahweh's anointed one. This one is both the image of the invisible God and yet has died a bodily death. But in his resurrected state, as the risen Christ, he has made available to all of creation the hidden mystery of God. The hidden mystery of God is God in everything. Paul says, God is reconciled to creation. God and Christ is within us. And that is our hope of glory. I believe it is from this vantage point that we learn to pay attention like Mary did. That's so that the stresses of life don't consume us. See, it's much like Brother Lawrence and practicing the presence of God. It doesn't mean we have to stop working. It just means we need to know what we're working for and why. it is from Christ within you that you can learn to be reconciled to God. That's when we can become faithful bearers of God in the world. That's when we can become many, M-A-N-Y, many, M-I-N-I, Christs. That's when people know who we are. Now, there's no point in talking about this new way of being in the world if we're not experiencing it in our bodies. Because in the end, life is not a head game alone. It is a heart and mind and body game as well. And we all know that our minds are not in our brains, yes? Right? Y'all know that, right? Say yes or no, so I'll know. Okay. So imagine, if you will, how Martha might have felt in that kitchen. She's overwhelmed with doing stuff, with everything that has been done, with everything she's got to do, and she's feeling tense. And she's getting angrier by the minute because she's in there by herself. And she finally decides to confront Mary by ratting her out to Jesus. And can you identify with her? Maybe not in the kitchen, but maybe on the job or in school or at a meeting. And you just can't focus because you are getting so full. And there's a way to let go of those anxieties and worries that are distracting us so that we can get back to our focus, to the present moment. Always remember that God is now. God is always present now. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves to reconnect with Christ within us. So this morning, I'm going to offer you, if you will receive it, a tool for helping you to reconnect with Christ within when you've had it up to here. You can go in a restroom. You can go outside for a minute. Well, not today, it's too hot. But you can go somewhere off by yourself, and you can just do this. And you can follow me if you want, but this is really easy. So if you're feeling really stressed out, you go somewhere and you begin by first taking a deep breath, inhaling through your nose and out your mouth. So you go. And then you shake your hands off to the sides, take both your hands, put them on your face and cover your eyes with your fingertips. Then you drag your fingers across your face to your temple and you breathe. Inhale. Out through the mouth. Take your fingertips up to your temples and just massage them. Inhale. Out through your mouth. Take your fingertips behind to the top of your ears, behind your ears, all down your neck to the top of your shoulders. Inhale. Then take your fingertips to that back of your shoulders, right there. Right there at the top of your shoulders where those muscles are. Press in and inhale. And then drag those fingertips all the way to your heart center. One hand over the other at your heart center. Take another breath, deep breath in. And you'll begin to be able to come back to now, to the task that's at hand. Always remember, brothers and sisters, the Lord is with you. Amen.